You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Liam Finn, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thanks. I'm excited to chat to you. We've just been talking off air about, I guess, the last sort of 18 months has been a really kind of crucial and very disruptive time for music, but it's also resulted in some pretty interesting ways in which people have thought about how to share and connect with communities that listen to music and play music. And you've got a very cool project called Liam Finn's Hyperverse, which kind of is part of this narrative. It's happening on Twitch, and it is a sort of live building of your new album. Do you want to explain a little bit about what the Hyperverse is, Liam?
Sure, yeah. Well, I guess through all of, you know, experiencing the slew of live broadcasts that people have done over the last year and stuff,
yeah.
I realized that I've always really enjoyed off-the-cuff stuff. You know, like if you're practicing for something, why not put it on to Instagram Live and have people watch you practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've noticed that it's always made me work a bit harder,
mm-hmm.
you know, and especially with, you know, I did the first show I've done in ages in New Zealand as a one-man band, which is something that I used to do, getting pretty loose on drums and making a lot of noise. And I was practicing for that, and I was kind of barely breaking a sweat. I was kind of just refiguring out how I used to do it. But
yeah.
as soon as I put on Instagram Live, I had to perform, and
yeah.
all of a sudden I was really enjoying myself and, you know, dripping in sweat, you know.
It's quite a brave thing, because for some people that would be their worst nightmare, seeing you know, they're putting their practice out in the public eye. But it does sound like it's been a really fruitful challenge for yourself there, you know, pushing yourself into these new spaces. Let's explain a little bit about what Twitch is for people who aren't necessarily familiar with the platform. It did kind of have this big moment for music communities last year, but it's a gaming platform basically, is that right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So it started as a way for people to watch other people play video games, which is something that is, you know, I'm not a gamer myself, and I by no means not cynical about it either, but I've never really found it, I never understood why people want to watch other people play video games, but they really do, and play Dungeons and Dragons and
all sorts,
and there's like thousands of people watching. It's pretty fascinating. I mean, to be honest, I've always really enjoyed, I remember when Periscope started, I loved that idea of being able to just to like look at a world map and see that somewhere in, you know, sometimes even like North Korea, you could find a broadcast that was, you know, someone secretly doing it, and you could go see what was going on. You're just a little voyeuristic portal into a different life. And I even like Chat Roulette, I don't know if you remember that.
Big time.
Yeah,
which was a bit dodgy. Very dodgy.
Kind of excitingly dodgy.
Yeah.
But I loved that. When I was making my second record, FOMO, me and Burke, my producer, used to put the computer on our console and have Chat Roulette just on. And every time people would just come up and start watching what we were doing, we'd kind of ignore it. In a way, it's kind of exactly what I'm doing now, but
that's
with
cool.
less interaction. And I met someone a couple of years later that discovered my music because they randomly got dished up on Chat Roulette.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, there's something in this. You know, like, you can discover things. Hence, now I am, you know, here, that's probably like 10 years ago, to be honest.
Yeah,
After doing this show in Auckland, I thought, well, maybe, you know, it'd be cool. So on Twitch, they've started having a lot more musicians doing live broadcasting, and it's definitely been a big place for people that do one-person shows, looping and stuff. Looping's been a bit of a big part of my history, although I shied away from it for probably the last 10 years, to be honest, since I stopped touring like that. I did band stuff. I had worked with other musicians and stuff, and I've kind of realized it's a big part of what I really thrived on was improvising and making stuff up on the spot. And I guess anyone that's seen one of these one-man band shows, or one man and one woman with EJ who used to play with me, we used to, you know, half the show was sort of off-the-cuff, improvised chaos. And,
And
that was, you know, not something that was reflected on my records, I don't think. You know, the records were more song-based and considered and produced, and so I guess I'm trying to make something that is spawned from that chaos. And it, you know, to be honest, listening back to some of the stuff I have to go through, about so far I've done 10 I think streams, I've had to listen to it all and actually figure out what's worth anything.
That's the hard bit. That's like doing your homework a little bit.
Yeah,
then, you've got to go back.
But I'm finding like one or two things per stream that are kind of exciting, and I'm realizing that the stuff that I'm gravitating towards all sound like things that I would have listened to when I was a teenager. Like,
oh, that's cool.
I'm kind of making, and the Hyperverse thing in general, like the poster that we've made, looks like a poster you'd have on a wall in
it looks very
teenager's bedroom.
Kind of somewhere between like a psychedelic kind of pyramid vibe and also Star Wars energy going on. Yeah. It's very cool, yeah.
So I'm sort of realizing that you've got a portal into my teenage bedroom, and I'm sort of harnessing that
excellent
nostalgia for myself and making kind of what seems to be half a kind of really heavy, fast punk record, and then the other side of it's kind of sounds quite shoegazy and I don't know, guitar-y, you know. I don't like to have to pigeonhole it, but sound very, in a way, quite 90s guitar-y kind of stuff.
Cool, yeah. And how have you found, I guess, because you are being kind of vulnerable here by A, going on and, you know, doing this sort of live performing and practicing and making mistakes in front of an audience and all that stuff that comes with experimenting and improvising. But also you are kind of inviting a little bit of discussion around that a little bit too. How has that felt for you? Because that's another thing that we've kind of seen a lot of in the last year is the sense of like community that has come out of the weirdness of everyone being thrust online at certain points, you know. How has that felt for you and for the writing process or the creating process for this record? Have you found that like a really interesting element?
Yeah, I think I like the idea that occasionally when you would normally on your own hit a bit of a wall and be like, I'll just stop and have a coffee or something like that.
Yeah.
When you're broadcasting, no one's going to wait there while they go and make a coffee, I don't think. Well, maybe they will.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that there is someone to bounce off, like when you have other musicians in the room, and obviously people haven't been able to do that a lot. But and I also like that there is a community built up around this thing now, and there are people that I'm recognising in the chat. There are even people that have, you know, I'll be on something, because some of these jams will go on for 20 minutes just to even find one thing that I settle on. And someone will pipe up and be like, yeah, not much going on here, move on, you know, and you're like, okay, thank you.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
Very harsh, but maybe that's a good thing to do.
It's
okay.
Good, yeah. What I'm struggling with now is figuring out the royalty system of, you know, if someone suggests something and I do it, are they going to sue me? But, you know, is there publishing in this? I'm not sure, you know.
It's a brave new world.
I've been offering it up. If someone suggests a good chord change or something like that, I'm like, I guess there's 5%.
Yeah. You know. Going for this one here.
Yeah, and it's all documented online, so I can't ignore it. It's all there, you know.
Liam, you play a lot of different instruments, and you've kind of explored those instruments on different albums. What do you feel like you find yourself gravitating towards at the moment? Do you find that you're leaning into a particular part of your own music making with this record, or are you sort of trying to spread yourself across your different mediums that you work in?
I think this, I had far more extravagant ideas of how I was going to create this record, but due to the amount of stuff that I'm having to kind of keep tabs on, like the Twitch stream, and I'm also recording it onto Pro Tools and kind of making sure all the levels are right and then I can hear myself. And,
yeah.
I've mostly been, so far until this week, I'm starting to open it up a little bit further, but I've mainly just been on obviously guitar and drums, making, like I said, bandy, you know, kind of pretty rocking stuff, to be honest. Well, the stuff that's fun in the moment is kind of fast and like what the shows used to turn into, but the stuff that seems the more interesting to me is when I find myself somewhere in between the whole thing and even making kind of like slightly groovier stuff and using like a field recording that I had on my iPhone.
Quite cool,
that I'll hold up to the mic and then that'll sort of spark an idea, and then I find myself in sort of meandering, weird, soundscapey kind of things.
Cool.
And coming back to that stuff seems a bit more exciting to me because that's sort of like a good bed to write a song on top of.
Yeah, and you kind of, you know, it starts you thinking in a different way as well when you're bringing in these other elements too.
Yeah.
It's something that people can come and see live at these very, very small concerts. Just to, if anyone is desperate to see this, they better be quick. Tell us a wee bit about these live concerts that are happening at Roundhead, Liam.
Yeah, so with how the concept came about, I thought I would do 2 months of writing and collecting of ideas, basically. This is writing to an extent so far, because I'm going to getting 50% of the way there with like a song idea and a structure. And I guess I hoped that by the end of the 2 months, I would have a I don't know, a record's worth of good ideas to then go into a studio and write a record. But then I thought I might as well continue on the performance aspect and having people watch.
Yeah, totally.
By inviting people into that process. So I'm doing three shows at Roundhead down in the Brick Room downstairs, which is the nice, you know, bit
it's the
more,
famous one, the one well, with the sort of like glowing lights, is that
it's
right?
It's got the
is
glowing lights. Well, yeah. BFM have had a lot of live sessions in there. It's got,
maybe I'm
it's,
just saying BFM
well,
famous.
Yeah, it's more of a bunker. You know, the upstairs has got the windows, and I love upstairs, but downstairs is quite good for getting, you know, deep.
Yeah.
So there's, I think there's like maybe 50 tickets. I think it's going to be pretty squished in there, and I'm going to be honest, as this has evolved, my idea of what those shows will be has evolved too. I'm going to, what I do know is that I'm tracking it all onto 2-inch tape, so I'm sort of... you know, I've always liked recording in an analog sense, but what I do end up recording, I'm not going to, that's not going to be the record. Mm. It'll be the building blocks of the record. And I'll probably even treat that like a bunch of, some of it might be a full song. Some of it might be like creating samples out of it and writing a whole song out of something I make there. Mm. I think each show is probably going to be completely different from the last one. I'm not sort of doing three of the same thing. But there'll be probably a handful of things that I've written along the way, and then there'll be a handful of stuff that I'll make up that night. And I think I'll just have to follow the muse, really, and see what kind of... if one show feels like it wants to be mellow and, you know, experimental and sprawling, it will be like that. And if one turns into a, you know, just a noise fest, that's what will happen. So maybe bring earplugs.
Yep, always good, yeah.
Or, and, you know, there'll be wine and beer. I've got some lovely Craggy Range wine that just got delivered. I'm excited about that. I know,
nice.
It was quite fancy. And do you remember what beer we went? Can't remember
Maria's going, nope.
I can't remember what beer we've got, but, it's, you know, there's
sure
a lot of good
lovely.
Beer in this country.
Very nice, yes.
So, you know, come and spend a night hanging out. And I think it'll be relatively informal because we've only got, like, you've got about 20 minutes per tape on these tapes. So I'll be, like, filling a tape. They'll have to change it over in the control room. There'll be, like, obviously the classic stand-up comedy routine in between.
While you tune and, the guitar and the tape gets fixed. Yeah,
exactly. And I don't know. Like when I started doing these broadcasts, I fell back on playing some older songs in between things to kind of reset. And maybe that'll happen. I've done that less and less the more comfortable I've got on Twitch. But in a way, that's kind of nice to reset and bring it back to song-based things. Yeah. So maybe in between I might... do a few old songs or...
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It sounds like a really fun project for you, Liam. It sounds like it's been really creatively fulfilling to be able to kind of explore in this new way.
Yeah.
For these little gigs, they're happening on the 11th, 12th and 13th of August, and I think there's only tickets for the 11th and the 12th left, and you can go to Under the Radar if you want to grab those. But if people want to tune into Twitch and see the process in action, how do they do that and when do they do that, Liam?
So every Monday on... Twitch. I'm midday on Monday. You just go to twitch.tv/TheLiamFinn. Some other Liam Finn out there got Liam Finn.
You're like, I'm the Liam Finn.
Yeah. Not to be mistaken for Liam Finn. But Thursday evenings are my evening ones at 8:30 p.m. So cool. That one, they're always quite different, to be honest, because the evening one has that sort of, I'll have a little whiskey, you know, the kids are in bed.
Excellent.
It's time to just, you know, zone out and see what happens. And the daytime ones are kind of being a bit more fraught and...
At work kind
exactly.
of a vibe, yeah.
But,
yeah.
They're, you know, they're kind of... Like you said, it is quite vulnerable. I feel like at first I was worried, like, who wants to watch me sing nonsense over something that looping in an annoying way? But actually, you know, people seem quite happy and content on there.
Yeah,
and there's
yeah.
a lot of chat going on, so it's kind of fun.
It's fun. Sounds like a kind of a really awesome process to be able to be part of as an audience as well, to sort of see that happen and be a little bit involved too. Thank you for coming in and chatting to us about the Hyperverse, Liam Finn. It's been an absolute pleasure. Under the Radar for those tickets, and Twitch is the place, The Liam Finn.
Yep, that's Mondays and Thursdays, and then sometimes the odd random one in between.
So just keep your eyes on the internet there.
Follow me so you get a little message when I go on.
Excellent.
I like the impromptu ones. I've only actually done one impromptu one.
Maybe another one's building up.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to listen to The Nihilist from the record of the same name now, and enjoy those shows, enjoy those Twitch streams, and we look forward to whatever record or project gets made at the end of all
Thank
of
you.
This experimenting.
Thanks
Liam.
Me. See ya.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.